Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We're a couple of weeks before Christmas, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. Happy Hanukkah to everybody who's celebrating that lovely holiday. And we're gonna celebrate ourselves. We got a nice show today with our good friends from ACT. I got Catherine Hoffman here, who's a VP there at ACT of State Partnerships. And I want to find out more about what that is, because I'm just not sure. But we're going to talk about how she works with the states and how the different state-level testing, etc. She'll explain it all, okay, to me as well as you, all right, how it's all done with equity in mind and all that, which is a big move, okay, from the folks at ACT. So it's going to be a nice show. I'll have Catherine on in just a couple of seconds. The show we're going to archive, as we always do, and it's the same place we put our weekly schedule, over at our equity website. That's why equity is so important to us, because we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Please go over, join with us. It's free to educators to join in and make your voice heard over there. We'd love to have you talk to us and tell us what's going on in your world and how things are working out with equity at your school or district or whatever. All of our podcasts are over there. You'll see an icon called Podcasts, and if you click through on that, you'll see our weekly schedule as well as the list of all the recent podcasts that we've done, which goes back quite a way now. All right, when I say recent, we're going back fairly far. You'll see everything archived over there, and please, while you're there, enjoy our online journal, which is called Equity in Access. It's really a good magazine. This is our Champions of Equity issue. It's up there now, and you'll be amazed at what some of your colleagues are doing for equity in there, again, schools and districts, and you'll just love all the articles in the magazine. Again, all free to educators. It's an industry-supported consortium over at ace-ed.org, and we'd love to have you join with us. And here's Catherine. I'll introduce you that way. Hi, Catherine Hoffman. I'm Larry Jacobs.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Where are you located, Catherine? Where are you calling from?
I'm right outside of Louisville, Kentucky, in a little farm area just west of Louisville.
What's the name of the town? Can you say the name of the town?
Palmyra, Indiana, which I'm sure four people have heard of. But yeah, Palmyra, Indiana.
But the amazing coincidence is all four are listening to this podcast, so they're thrilled that you mentioned
it. That's wonderful.
Is that a coincidence or what?
Yeah, there you go.
And by the – spell that, by the way. I'm going to look it up on the Google Maps when we're done. Spell the town.
Yeah. P-A-L-M-Y-R-A, Palmyra.
You know, that's what I thought you said. And I grew up in Philadelphia, and there's a famous bridge that connects to New Jersey, and it's called the Tacony, but we say Palmyra, the Tacony-Palmyra Bridge.
Probably how the normal people – yeah, that's probably how normal people pronounce it. But if you're from here, you say Palmyra. Just like if you're from Louisville, you say Louisville, right? So
yeah.
it's all in that dialect, right?
It's the old joke. You know, how do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky? Do you pronounce it Louisville or Louisville? And invariably people say Louisville. Do you say no? I'm sorry, it's Frankfurt.
I was wondering if you were going to get that.
It's an old joke. Stupid joke. And now all four people, the entire population of Palmyra, Kentucky, know that joke, okay, because they're all listening. It's good to have you here, Catherine. Catherine, you're
thanks.
VP of State Partnerships over at ACT, okay?
And can you
– what does that mean? What's your job role there? When they say
right.
State Partnership, what are you doing? Tell everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think – when people think ACT, they think also just a college testing, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
okay, college entrance testing.
Yeah.
But obviously states already have been to college. So tell me, what state partnerships mean?
So here's the exciting part about what we do. So I think you and I, all of us probably grew up thinking of the ACT as you get up on a Saturday morning, you got to drive to this test center, you have to take the ACT and wait for your test results and, you know, have that anxiety. Well,
that's
things
right.
have changed a little bit. So, and don't get me wrong, we still do that. We still value that. But what we found was the ability for us to have a little more equity and access in our testing population. So about 10 years ago, we reached out to some states and said, you know, how can we ensure we're testing all of your students, not just the student who maybe A, has the ambition to get up on a Saturday morning and take the test, or B, the parents who make their student get up on a Saturday morning and take the test. How do we make sure every student's getting tested? So, you know, we've reached out to states and states have reached out to us. And over that time, we now have 21 states that test every single one of their juniors with a college entrance exam with the ACT. So what that means is the state pays for, the state pays for the student on a Tuesday in the spring to come in and sit down and take the assessment. So Kentucky is one of those states. You know, we have 21 states across the country that the state has enacted either legislation or the State Department of Education uses their funding to pay for every student to take the ACT on a school day. So really a huge effort from our states, a huge effort from our legislators, and it really does bring so much equity and access. And here's the other exciting thing I want to tell you it does. So then it gives all the teachers with the data and the information they need to see where their students are as a whole and individually. And then they can change their instruction. So when we see states adopt this and do this year over year over year, over time we see their scores increase and able to get into more students able to get into college because they're really changing that instruction and driving change for their students.
And let's use your great home state, which, by the way, has an excellent education. I work a lot with the Kentucky educators. Okay, I know Kentucky is one of the states that really does a good job. There's a nice compliment for you guys down there. Okay, so what you're saying, and use them as an example, okay, every high school junior, regardless of whether they wish to go to college or not, on a given Tuesday, okay, I guess in the spring or whatever, we'll take an ACT test. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I had no idea. So let me ask you. I got to ask you why? And I'm being serious. Why does Kentucky do that? I think that's wonderful. What's their purpose of that? That's great.
Yeah. So Kentucky and our other states realize that every kid should have the opportunity, to go to college. So what we've seen is a student who's like, I'm not going to college. Nobody in my family ever went to college. You know, I don't even know anybody maybe that graduated college. They show up and take that test, and when they get their scores back, they're like, holy camoly, I have what it takes to be successful in college, right? Then they start getting recruited or they start getting scholarship letters. So let me give you another example. Tennessee. Tennessee tests all their juniors and all their seniors again. And why they do that is because Tennessee offers a scholarship in their state where if a student gets a 21 composite on their ACT, they get funds for in-state colleges, right? So we've been able to increase the number of students by tens of thousands of students in that state that are now getting scholarships because they have the opportunity to test. In their junior year, they can look and see where do I still need some more instruction. The teachers can maybe change their instruction as well. And then they retest their junior year. And we have seen senior year. So we have seen so many increases, that students have been able to get more scholarships in-state and out-of-state. So it's really, that opportunity, again, to bring equity and access to students being able to go to college that maybe never thought they could or never even dreamed about it because it's not just something historically their family's done.
Let's just use Kentucky again. Let's swing over to Tennessee. They're seniors, okay? They're retesting all their seniors, okay?
Yeah.
Which means that the ACT, if I'm reading this correctly, is done at state expense. As opposed to student expense. Therefore, kids who perhaps are in a lower socioeconomic class who could not afford to take, just by very nature they decided not to take it, suddenly have access to the test. And then let me ask you this. Once they take the test, when they get their grades, okay, when I took the test, and probably when you took the test, my teachers never knew what I got on what I took was the old SATs, Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm talking about 2,500 years ago. So I had to take it actually on a clay tablet with a little hammer and chisel.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how old it was. It was Babylonian. It was amazing. And Aramaic was what I was using as the basic language. Okay, but it's a long time ago. But my teachers, my school, had no idea. I don't believe what I got on the SATs, on my college entrance exam. I'll say that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
that was, I paid for it. It was my information. I think I'm right here, but
yep.
What happens when Tennessee does it now, and so many
yep.
other states, the schools actually get the information.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. The schools get that information. So the counselor or their teacher can call them in and say, let me help you understand what these results mean. Oftentimes in an advisory period, someone will go over and say, let's go over these results. Let's look at what you, let's learn how to interpret your report. Let's see where you are. And so they can look at that data aggregately. In other words, they can look at it and say, all right, big picture. When I look big picture at this school, my students don't know enough about, ratios. And then they can spend another unit on that, right? Because the ACT is a curriculum-based assessment. It assesses what you've learned in the classroom. So if there's an area that all of your students are doing poorly on the ACT, then you know maybe where you need to beef up some of your instruction for that student to be successful in college or post-secondary. So, and then that student can take a look at it and then say, all right, here's some areas where I need to improve. I need to get better. I need to look at more deeply for me to increase my score.
So now let me ask you this. You're giving me all these great questions. I love this. If it's a curriculum-based assessment, but
mm-hmm.
every state, what's another state besides Tennessee and Kentucky? Give me another state. Pick one.
Oh, Nevada.
Nevada, okay. So Nevada has a different curriculum, okay,
mm-hmm.
than Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
if it's a curriculum, and said they're close, everybody's close, but they're different, okay? So if
right,
it's a curriculum-based,
right.
If it's a curriculum-based test assessment, if I may, okay, how do you handle it for Nevada and Tennessee? And I know you guys are good at this, but how do you do that?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So let me for a
really,
minute
thank
walk
you
through.
Thank you.
And
do I get it?
It
do
really
I get?
Is a
do
good
I?
Question.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You
go
know
ahead.
What? You don't get any extra credit because I'm just expecting excellence from you. So you've risen to that expectation.
Thank you. I set too high a bar.
Let's say I'm the University of Michigan, and I am going to start looking at applications, right? So I start looking at an application, and I see Johnny comes in. And Johnny has, pretty good GPA. He's been involved in some, extracurricular activities. He's written a pretty good essay. And he looks like a solid candidate to me. And then I look at his ACT score, and it's a little weaker. It's not quite where I would expect it to be for a pretty good GPA and pretty good extracurricular activities. He's got some AP courses, right? I'm like, Then I look at Mary. And Mary's GPA isn't so good. She hasn't taken any AP courses, dual enrollment. She's from a very small school. Haven't seen her involved in any extracurricular activities. But then I look at her ACT score, and she's got a 32 on her ACT. It's just stellar. I mean, it's impressive. So what that is not every GPA is equitable, right?
Agreed. Absolutely.
An A in math in one state isn't the same as A in math in another state. What ACT does, it brings that lighthouse in the storm. It is that great equalizer. It says a 32 is the same in Nevada as it is in Mississippi, as it is in Alabama, as it is in Massachusetts, as it is in any state. So it's not subjective. It's not, so GPA does predict college success with about 70% accuracy. We know that.
I believe that.
Our research.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but here's the deal. I was the student. I grew up in a very rural farming community. I had no access to AP courses. I had one dual enrollment class that I snatched up. So my GPA looked okay at best. Not great, but okay at best. When I am the first generation college students, my parents didn't go to college, great people, hard workers, but I didn't know anyone who had gone to college. So I was the first generation to attend college. It was all new for me. So when I took my college entrance exam and I got a score, So when I got that, I was like, wow, I can go to college.
Wow.
I can do this, right? But if I would have just had to submit my GPA, I don't know, I might not have gotten in. I don't know. But I had the opportunity to be able to show a broader picture of what I was and what I could do. And that's what this does. It brings this great equalizer. So I'm not assessing.
I love that.
The ACT doesn't assess every single standard. Heck, you'd be there for 5 days taking a test tested you on every single standard. That's where the minutia and differences come in a state, right? What we test is the bigger picture of that curriculum. Every state's going to have you learn certain things. And this is what we know you have to learn to be successful in post-secondary success. We also send out curriculum surveys to teachers across all 50 states, and we ask them, are you teaching this? Is this important? Where do you value this? So the ACT reflects what teachers actually teach in the classroom because we've sent out those curriculum surveys. We align to standards, and then we also say, what do you need to be successful? And we can predict with 75% accuracy whether a student will score a C or higher on credit-bearing courses their freshman year of college because of that. So, and I'm not here to say that anyone should just look at the ACT. I'm here to say take as many data elements as you can to make a decision about a student. Take their GPA, take extracurricular activities, take an essay, but also look at the ACT because it is that great equalizer that helps you see where that student can be successful.
This is pretty fascinating, and I must ask, do the students, do you find, this is an odd question, I don't know if you have the answer, do the students take it seriously? And let me finish that. like they understand, if I do well, I may be able to get, I may be able to get into college. Let's take a kid in a curriculum that he's really not planning to go to college, yet he's intelligent enough to do so, or she, whatever. Okay, you don't have to worry about being too gender specific right now. Okay, but if he or she, okay, are you finding that they take it seriously? Are the teachers doing enough to have the kids understand how really important this is? That's a tough question. I don't know.
I found a couple of different things. Number one is teachers are going above and beyond. I mean, they take a college entrance exam seriously. So here's what a lot of our states have done. It's not only a college entrance exam in these states. They're also tying it to their state accountability, sometimes graduation requirements, sometimes federal accountability. So it's being used, killing two birds with one stone or three birds with one stone.
You may kill as many birds as you wish. Metaphorically, you may kill as many birds as you wish.
Maybe I should have used a different analogy.
But
you're able.
Think chickens. We eat chicken all the time. Think chickens.
There you go.
They are birds.
So the teacher's explaining it to the student, right? They're saying, hey, this is your opportunity to maybe get a grad requirement, maybe be able to opt out of an end-of-course assessment that the student's having to take, right? So the stakes are high. They and it has a good brand, right? The ACT and SAT have good brand. So if you tell your parents, hey, your student's taking the ACT today, our schools have found the highest date of attendance, hands down, the highest date for attendance is on the ACT day. More students come on the ACT day than any other day of school. So I think that tells you a little bit how serious they take it. And our schools build it up. They have almost campaigns around it, right? Arkansas did a little jingle and a little commercial for all of their students to talk about the importance of the ACT and how to opt in. And every student gets to send their score for free to four colleges and universities. So yeah, it's a really nice, energizing, feel good way that states kind of help our students.
And do you find a difference? And I know we're going to talk about this in a second because you get a lot of data, okay, from schools that you work with that you're able to apply. And this question has come up. And this is the question that's not going to be a surprise, but the equity question: are kids? Is there an equity challenge? I'm just going to use, and forgive me, Detroiters. Okay, I'm sorry about the Lions, your football team, okay, but this has nothing to do with that, okay? A big city like Detroit, they have more troubles, shall we say. They're trying so hard. than many other, like a suburban district, okay, outside of Detroit that's doing very well. How do you measure that student, okay, who may not have had the same opportunity in learning, okay, through grade 11? Okay, versus the kid, the upscale suburban. How do they take the same test? How do you measure that? And that's a challenge, I know. And I don't know if you can even answer it. It's a real challenge out there.
No, it's a great question.
But it's a question that always comes up. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Catherine.
But we don't change the test based upon how prepared the student is. The test isn't saying, well, you know, Mary gets this and Sally gets this because they're from different socioeconomics. The test is the test for every student. What our test is here to do is tell you how prepared the student is. Do we find that there is a mm-hmm. subset of some students that aren't as prepared? We do. The test
sure.
isn't biased. It's just the whistleblower. It shows us that there are inequities, inequalities in our
what
education
What a great way
system.
To put it. I have to tell you something. That's a wonderful way to explain that. Okay, that's a wonderful way. Because people sometimes do, they're blaming the messenger as opposed to the message. And mm-hmm. in this case, the mm-hmm. test is the messenger. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When there's an inequity that shows, it's not the test that's inequitable. Okay? It's everything that went before it. Okay, that just isn't working out for these kids because of dollars or whatever the case may be in the district. That is a wonderful way to explain that. Okay, I was really impressed with that. Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I mean it. That is really, that's excellent because it's easy to blame the test. Okay,
yeah.
But it's not the test's
yeah.
fault. All right. And
it just shows us where our educational system is and where we need to improve, right?
That's right. That's right. And
that
was really excellent. You really opened my eyes there on a Monday morning. I appreciate that. That is really good.
Oh, good.
And as mentioned, I really mean that, okay? And as mentioned, okay, you guys get a lot of data, and I've done shows on this with you folks, some podcasts, okay, about all the data that you folks get. All right, so what you're looking for in many cases are the promising things that schools do. You call them promising practices, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they
mm-hmm.
have these regarding test prep, I guess, and using the test, et cetera. What have you found in the 2020 graduation data from 6-7 months ago now, okay, that you saw, that you use, that makes changes, whatever the case may be? What's going on with
yeah.
promising practices? Go, Catherine.
Yeah, so states are doing a lot of great things, and I've referenced a few of them, but we found that when states or schools take a comprehensive look at college going, you see more success. Right. So you spoke a little bit about it earlier. It's how that teacher, how that school puts the prestige, the importance on the ACT. So we have a lot of schools that start in eighth grade. They start giving a pre-ACT in the eighth grade, and they interpret that data, send it home, share, hey, here's where your student is. All right. And then they can create these professional learning communities, these PLCs, and the teachers begin to say, my students are struggling with this. How should I teach this better? They meet with grades above them and grades below them so they can make sure that they're starting to prep the student better. Then they test that student again in 10th grade on the pre-ACT. Get that data back again. Where have we seen growth, right? Then they take the ACT, and ultimately that student then is a little more prepared because they've had that practice and they've had those interventions to be done. We have some states, like I said, in Tennessee, who've decided to pay for the ACT to be taken twice. And what we've
great,
seen
man.
Is that those students
wow.
increase a whole composite point, one composite point. And for schools with super score, that's huge, right? Because you can take your best subject test of each test and combine those scores to get an even higher score. So where we've seen legislation go in and we've seen the funding fall in behind it, we've also seen great success. So a lot of times we'll see legislation go in, but it'll be an unfunded mandate. So then people are trying to, you know, get the money together. And then I don't want to leave out career. So I'm going to highlight Alabama for a minute. Alabama is a great state where they provide the ACT for every student. But they also provide a work keys or a career assessment for students that want to potentially get a certification to go, begin a career immediately out of high school into potentially a welder or a nurse practitioner, or, you know, they have those abilities those abilities to get this career certificate and say, all right, I can get matched. So what we found was, especially in Alabama and Mississippi as well, there was a lot of industry that wasn't able to find people to come work and be certified and ready to work. So they were able to take these assessments and match them, profile the job and say, all right, what does it need to be successful? Then we match that student with the assessment and they automatically start a career right out of high school because they've been matched. So there's many ways to do
there
it.
Are.
Each state's kind of found their own niche to do it. But we found some successes in multiple ways, by retesting, by pretesting, and even by looking at college and career and how we can find success for the most students out there.
Boy, that's great. And by the way, you and I both caught your little error a minute ago. To be a nurse practitioner, you have to go through a lot of school. I think you meant just a practical nurse or whatever.
I did. Well,
I heard you start to correct yourself, and I knew that that was about. This is very, very interesting. And Catherine, you know, and I'm going to use Detroit and a wealthy Detroit suburb. Okay, as an example, I'm not picking on Detroit. It's as good as anywhere else. Okay, all right, and Michigan's as good as anywhere else, quite obviously. All right, but the kids who go through a big urban system that struggles with dollars all the time, and I know for a fact that Detroit is doing much, much better. They have a wonderful new superintendent there. But I'm curious, the kids take the SAT, and you could use a Tennessee district. I just don't know the districts well enough, okay, there or whatever. But are there colleges who understand that a kid may come from a district that's struggling, okay? But to take the SAT – and they use the ACT, forgive me, my own past showing up there, the ACT.
Either way,
They take the ACT, okay, and that child may look and say, this kid will be good college material, but from the basis of the ACT, that kid is going to need help in this, this, and this to make them successful in college. In other words, are they using it for something besides an entrance requirement, but rather to assess for success that student as they enter college because they may be lacking behind a little bit? Is that too long a question?
They
do. You get that question? Yeah.
It's not. It's a great question, and they do. So when that admissions counselor sits down, again, they look at that whole package. And a lot of times they'll have them come in and even take some assessments to see, all right, where are you? What classes should we put you in? And sometimes they provide them with certain, they'll put them in a certain dorm where there's this learning community. They get extra support. Mm-hmm. They may provide some kind of zero level classes for them to get their sea legs about them. They can provide some soft skills learning. So yeah, when an admissions counselor sits down, like I said, they never look at one measure. They don't just look at what school did they come from, what's their socioeconomic status. They look at all of those things. Is this a first generation college student? Is this student maybe from an urban school or a school that maybe will need some more support? And then those colleges have different funnels or different, subsets that they put them in to give those the supports to be successful. They recognize that they're not on an equal playing field when they show up. And so they have So they have a lot of supports to put into place, and a lot of colleges are doing really good at this. There's a small college that David Letterman went to, actually, called Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana.
I was just going to say, Muncie, Indiana, and you're not going to believe this, everybody. I don't know if you know this, Catherine. That's called Ball State because it's named for the Ball family who invented the Ball mason jar, the Ball jar.
I know.
Did you
know
that? The Ball jar.
I did know that.
There you go. Muncie, Indiana.
And I love them.
Go ahead.
So, they do a lot of great things that when students come in, they put them in little communities. So they're seeing the same students. They have the same advisors. They're able to group them accordingly and give them successes. And that's not just for struggling students. That's for students that maybe honor students as well. So they don't want to hold anyone back. They want to make sure whatever path they're on They start running as soon as they hit it. So if that's an honor student that is just ready and set to hit the ground running, they put them in a community where maybe they can have a little more independence or have a little bit more freedom. So they look at each student that comes in, and they have multiple communities or multiple learning communities that they can put them in, maybe by interest, like they put the athletes together, maybe a STEM. So that way, if you're all in the same dorm, you're studying the same things, you have the same classes. So they've been very thoughtful about how they set students up for success.
Boy, it's really cool. And again, you said it before, people wake up on a Saturday, they get all anxious, they take the SAT, they see it as a college entrance exam, okay?
Mm-hmm,
but what you're
mm-hmm.
saying today, okay, and it's just so important for people to understand, it goes way, way, way beyond that, okay? It goes way, way, way beyond. This is really a great show. I have to ask you something. I want you to do a little plug here, all right? We're talking about kids from different backgrounds, et cetera, and how they learn and all that. And I know for a fact that I'm just going to say, you know, you guys have a product at ACT. It's called Mosaic, okay? And it's a nice name, and it actually makes sense. You take kind of the pieces of how people's journey of education come together to make sure that they are successful. Tell people about that. And if people want to check it out, I am going to give a plug. Just go to Mosaic by ACT, and you'll see it right there. But go ahead, just tell everybody what that is and how you guys are using it.
Absolutely. So we recognize that, and the research shows, that really to make substantial change in a student, the earlier you get the interventions and the education, the better, right? We know that there are certain markers. By grade 3, if you are not reading fluently, you have the lot more propensity to fall behind, right? By grade 8, if you've not had some type of algebra, you have the propensity to fall behind in math. So we know these markers. So at ACT, we believe there's more than just an assessment. We also want to be involved in learning, and we want to be involved in that path, that learner's journey that they take in elementary school all the way to the ACT. We don't see the ACT as where we want to enter the game. We see it as that capstone of where the game ends and they move on or transition on to college. So Mosaic has gotten us involved in more of the learning side, to be able to look at those soft skills that students have, to be able to look at how are we getting interventions in earlier to make sure that that student is successful. We have a lot of great platforms, a lot of creative, rigorous items that are being developed and used for that, and we're just really encouraged to get our footprint in the schools and in the students a little more deeply and provide our support. So again, the ACT is seen more as that capstone of our support that we're guiding that student to.
I like that. It's a wonderful way of putting it. You are really good at this, Catherine. I got to tell you, you're a great explainer of things. I love it. Really, you paint a great picture. I got to tell you, you're terrific. Who do you want to go over and look at Mosaic? Do you want the counselor to look? Do you want the teachers to look? Do you want the fourth grade teachers to look? The high school history teacher? Do you want the coach? Do you want the parents? Who do you want to go? Again, Google Mosaic by ACT. Who do you want to go over there?
Well, the educator in me will tell you that anyone should go, because I think everyone being educated more on what we can provide, the better. But I will say, if our teachers and our curriculum superintendents or associate superintendents in schools are probably the best people to understand and go there, we have a lot of counselors making those decisions there too. So teachers, counselors, curriculum associates, through curriculum decision makers in the districts. Those are great people that have some resources there. We also have free demos that we're happy to provide. And we also have sales staff. While we're not traveling, we can still virtually travel to each one of you. And we're happy to train or explain or anything you guys may need. And there's ways to find that there on that website.
Cool. Again, everybody, and it is cool. Mosaic by ACT. I just wanted to mention it as we go, because the whole Yeah, and ACT, I mean, you kind of covered it beautifully today, but ACT does a lot. Again, we have to get out of our heads that it's just a college entrance exam, boom, okay? It's a hell of a lot more than that. You did a great job of explaining that, Catherine Hoffman, okay, Vice President of State Partnerships. We got to go, but that was just terrific. Thank you. You were terrific.
Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for
having
me.
I hope you do too, and a wonderful week, and happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa. Should we go down the whole list? Happy New Year, et cetera, et cetera.
Happy holidays for all of them.
There you go. That's the shortcut. Thank you, Catherine. You take care.
Thank you.
Be safe in Palmyra, okay? Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, I cut you off just a little bit there. Forgive me. Catherine Hoffman, everybody. Vice President of FACT, and you get it, all right? What can I tell you? They do a lot of work with us over at the website and in the magazine. Go over, check it out at ace-ed.org. We'll archive this podcast there. My name's Larry Jacobs. That was the amazing Catherine Hoffman, the Vice President of State Partnerships over at ACT, and I learned a lot on this show. It's really something. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.